I wanted to ask you, next week is the sermon of the burial of Jesus. Would that be, were you there after, would that be appropriate, or do you think it's something different? I mean, it seems like an appropriate song to do out there. Well, I know that, but it's just like, I didn't know what's going on with my sermon, so, you know what I mean?
Well, it's about the burial of the body of Jesus and that land.
That's what I thought. So I thought that was just a good song again.
Yeah.
I mean, we only sing it once a year. So.
Yeah.
I'll put that one in.
Nice. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
What's this? It's mail.
It was in the box. Of it.
Yeah, this box.
Yeah.
Greetings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and I welcome you here to worship Almighty God, the one only living and true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we'll begin to do that momentarily. I do want to draw your attention to a couple of announcements. However, they're listed on the back of the bulletin down at the bottom of the back page. First of all, remind everyone we'll enjoy a celebration meal after the worship service in the fellowship hall. And certainly invite all of you to stay and be with us for that. A good time of food and fellowship. Also, our session meeting is scheduled this month for Thursday, October 26th at 10 a.m. If you have anything you want us to consider, please get that to me, Charlie, or Ryan. We'll be glad to take that up at our meeting. And the other announcement concerning the West Wilkes High School and Samaritan's Kitchen, we continue to support both of them and their ministry, and they are very thankful for that. Any other announcements? Okay.
You, we know this is Pastor Appreciation Month, and today is Pastor Appreciation Day. Oh, great. And so we want to just say how much we appreciate you, Bob. And we have a card for you, and those of the congregation have wrote a little notes about to you, and there's a, and also there's a gift and that kind of thing. So hope you enjoy it.
All right. Thank you very much. One of you, not too long ago, asked me, is there anything I can do for you? And I said, yes. And he said, what? I said, keep showing up. And he said, I will. And so I appreciate you, love you, and keep showing up. That's a good encouragement. Okay. Any other announcements? Hearing none, then let us hear our call to worship. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, the great King above all gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for it is he who made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Our first hymn of worship this morning, Trinity Hymnal Selection 100, Holy, Holy, Holy. Let's stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Let us remain standing, bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, again we bow before you to worship you in spirit and in truth on this another Lord's Day morning. We know that you are indeed holy and that there is none other like you. You're the one only living and true God, and all the other gods are nothing but the idols of people. And we thank you that you have not only revealed yourself to us, but by your grace and Holy Spirit, because of your great love for your people, you have called us unto yourself, caused us to be born again. You have saved us, redeemed us, forgiven us of all of our sins. And so again, we give you praise and honor and glory and worship, for you and you alone are worthy to receive it. Bless our time together, we pray. And again, we ask you to work in our lives and accomplish that which is pleasing in your sight, not only in this time of worship, but in the days ahead. Lord, again, we would ask you to teach us to pray together as you taught your own disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And again this morning, we will confess our faith in the one only living and true God by saying together the Apostles' Creed. Christians, in who and what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Turn with me once again to the back of the bulletin, this time for our time of corporate confession of sin and assurance of pardon. The Word of God tells us there is no one who does not sin, and there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Let us then confess our sins and ask forgiveness from the merciful God who sent his Son to save sinners. Lord Jesus, I have sinned times without number. I have been guilty of pride, unbelief, and neglect to seek you in my daily life. My sins and shortcomings present me with a weighty list of accusations that I cannot deny. I confess that I am a lawbreaker and unable to redeem myself. I ask your forgiveness, and I thank you, Lord, that though my sins are great in number, I can know that they will not stand against me, for all have been laid on Christ. Grant me, by the power working of your Spirit, to respond to your grace with a life of gratitude. Deliver me from every evil habit, every interest of former sins, everything that dims the brightness of your work in me, everything that prevents me from delighting in you. Amen. In providing a suffering Savior, our Lord has shown himself mighty to save the worst of sinners who looks to him in faith through the weakness of the cross. As you trust in Christ and rest in his gospel, which is God's power for salvation, Know that he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, and be at peace. Our morning prayer this morning will be prayed by Charlie.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you today, our triune God, in thanksgiving. We are thankful to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for your covenant of grace in sending your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again, defeating death and giving us eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Like Boaz, you are our kinsman redeemer who bought and paid for our lives. We were born into sin and depravity, and we were lost going our own way. But you saw us in our pitiful state and claimed us as your own. Your wondrous gifts of salvation for every sin we have committed has been paid for. Your crimson blood covers our sin and makes us white as snow. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope of heaven and where we will be able to sing your praises forever and ever. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming into our hearts, changing us, and making us more like Christ. You have made us new creatures in Christ, knowing the Father and the Son, Jesus. We are still changing and are not a completed work. Some of us are very close, but some of us are struggling, and some of us are just babes in Christ. Please continue to strengthen our walk on this path that you have placed us on. Give us faith of the Father and the assurance of his plans. Thank you that no power on earth can now separate us from your love. We thank you for bringing us together as a body of Christ in this little church 16 years ago, and that we celebrate our second year today of it as being an organized church. Thank you for giving our congregation faith to continue in overcoming the challenges that we have faced, for though through them we have grown stronger and wiser, we recognize that even in difficult times, your grace sustains us and your love never wavers. We thank you for our pastor who came to us in a most critical time when it appeared that we would have to close our mission work here and join other churches. But you had another plan for us. And you had a plan for Pastor Bob Wilson to lead us and for him to be a facilitator to us to become an organized church. And even not supported by key members of our presbytery, we thank you for calling him and his dear wife Joyce, who both have provided wonderful leadership and support. We are so grateful that they are here today to celebrate with us. We thank you for this place of worship that you've provided and that we can use it to grow in spirit and in fellowship with you, members of our congregation and with our neighbors. We thank you for our faithful pastor who preaches and teaches us your word for the sermons. And we thank you for our faithful Sunday school and Bible study teachers who leads us in study of your word and the time and preparation that they put in to ensure our understanding so that we are able to put it to practice. Although we celebrate today, we are sinners and we have troubles and concerns regarding our loved ones and neighbors. We have many prayer requests for your intercession, and we lay them at your feet. We thank you for answering our prayers that you have answered thus far, and the many blessings that you've given us. And we ask all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Thank you, Charlie. And now we have a ministry of music that will be presented to us by Rocky and Jill Long. Thank you and praise the Lord. The next hymn of worship, Hallelujah, Thine the Glory, Trinity Hymnal, Selection 179. Let's stand and sing together.
Hallelujah.
Offertory, Sarah Rose and Deacon will minister to us in music. But before they do, let us bow our heads for a moment of prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, again we bow before you to give thanks to you for the way that you have given us work to do, the gifts you have given us to do it, the way you have caused us to prosper and accumulate money and material things, and yet to teach us from your word that we're not to love or trust them, but we're to love and trust you. And Lord, we do. So we bring again this morning tithes and offerings in an act of worship to give to you, asking you to not only be pleased with that, but cause us to give with a cheerful heart because you love a cheerful giver. And Lord, to bless the tithes and offerings and use them to continue to build your church and expand your kingdom until you, Lord Jesus, come again. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you. may be seated. Let me just say a brief word. How we appreciate Bobby and your music ministry, Rocky and Jill, your music ministry, Sarah Rose and Deacon, your music ministry. It's really a great thing to see how the Lord has blessed you musically. He certainly hadn't done that with everybody. I'm a good example of the one that he passed over with that. But again, I know two things about music. I know when it sounds good, and I know when it doesn't. And today we've heard it sounding good, and we are very thankful for that. Turn with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God today to the Old Testament, to the book of Psalms, Psalm number 118. For those of you visiting with us, this is more of a topical sermon. Normally I preach expositorially through books of the Bible. I've been preaching through the Gospel of John all year, started January 1, and as of last week, we were about three-fourths of the way through chapter 19, Lord willing. We'll finish up chapter 19 next Sunday, and then there'll be the last two chapters, chapter 20 and 21, and then we'll be turning our attention to things like Thanksgiving and what the Bible says about the virgin conception and birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and why it is that he came into the world. And we will be reminded of those things. And then come January, I don't know yet what that will be, but it'll be something. And the Lord will get me there and get me to it between now and then. And we'll see what that is come January 1. But today, Psalm number 118. And I'm going to read verses 24 through 29. And if you would like to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God, I would encourage you to do so and follow along in your copy. Psalm 118, 24 through 29. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, do save, we beseech thee. O Lord, we beseech thee, do send prosperity. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I give thanks to thee. Thou art my God, I extol thee. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. You may be seated. So the title of the message this morning is simply this: Rejoice, Be Glad, and Give Thanks. We are today, as you know, celebrating our second anniversary as an organized church. Back in 2019, we were labeled as an expository work, and there were those in our presbytery who even thought that that shouldn't continue and that the group should be dissolved and their attention be put somewhere else. By the way, Joyce and I attended a 10th anniversary church celebration yesterday down in Midland. That's where I grew up. And with the Trinity Reformed Presbyterian Church. And I served them for a year as their pastoral supply and moderator. And that was the year leading up to their call to their previous pastor, not the one they have now, but the one before him. And that was probably 6 or 7 years ago. And I'll be quick to tell you, if they had extended a call to me to continue as their pastor, I would have taken it. But our God had other plans. In his providence and in his sovereignty, even though I didn't know it then, but I know it now, his plan was, Bob, I don't want you down here in Union County. I want you over there in Miller's Creek. And so it was some years later, he brought that to pass, and lo and behold, here we are. And so 2019, we were an exploratory work. 2020, we became a mission church, and we had a provisional session. And Randy Connor and Mark Forbes and myself were the elders on that provisional session. And so we began to work hard at doing what our form of government requires of us in order to become an organized church. And then in October of 2021, October the 3rd, our sovereign God brought that to pass, and we became an organized church. We had prayed for that, worked for that, longed for that, dreamed of that, were steadfast and determined in pursuing that, even though we did have opposition to that end. But nonetheless, God Almighty brought it to pass. And so we celebrate our second year as an organized church, and to God be the glory for that. So I want to share with you some things that I believe we need to rejoice, be glad, and give thanks for. And the first thing, turn with me for this to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And some of you may already be familiar with what I'm going to read, first four verses. But this is what the Apostle Paul was inspired of God to write to the church at Corinth. And we know that there were a number of issues there with them. First time I read through the book of 1 Corinthians, I thought, how in the world could they be called a church? Now, I'm thankful that we're not like that Corinthian group, okay? God brought us well down the road from that. But nonetheless, the first thing we need to be thankful for is what God says is the first thing here in 1 Corinthians 15, first four verses. So the apostle said, I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Now pick up on those two words. First importance. What I also received. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And then he goes on to elaborate about the resurrection of Christ. And then toward the end of the chapter begins to elaborate on our resurrection. But this thing of salvation, being born again, is of first importance. And I don't care what you have, if you don't have that, you are really sorely lacking in the most wonderful thing that we could ever receive, the gift of God's grace, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, due to the life, death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, in another place in the scriptures, it tells us, what does it profit a man, and I will add to that, woman, boy, or girl, if you lose your own soul, if you gain the whole world, but yet lose your own soul. Your soul in the sight of God is of greater value than the entire world and everything in it. So that's why it's of first importance that we know and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that we trust in him for our forgiveness and life everlasting. Yes, we're all sinners. None are righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have corporately confessed that we are sinners, but yet at the same time, we acknowledge and really do believe that the only solution to our sin problem is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I mentioned this last Sunday. I'll mention it again in case you have not yet seen that movie entitled The Blind. And it doesn't have anything to do with eyesight or lack thereof. It's about a duck blind. Deer hunters have a deer stand. Duck hunters have a duck blind so that they're hidden from the ducks. The ducks can't see them, but they can see the ducks. And it's the story of the life, the sinful life and conversion of Phil Robertson, who is the father and founder of Duck Dynasty. And if you've not yet seen that, get to the theater and see that. And if you know a lost person, invite them to go with you. It'd be a wonderful thing. The gospel clearly presented. And so salvation is the most important thing. Salvation by grace through faith in Christ. And those of us who regularly attend and are members and come here to Covenant Presbyterian Church are those who do profess faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We give testimony that he has caused us to be born again. And we believe that with all our hearts. And that's a very good thing. We know our destiny is heaven, not hell. If a person dies apart from Christ and dies in their trespasses and sins, the Bible makes it clear they will spend eternity in the fire of hell forever. And that's a horrible thought, much less the reality that it will be if they die in that condition. So I would plead with you, as the Bible does, examine yourself to see if you be of the household of faith. And if you come up short, you need to talk to someone, a parent or a pastor or a friend, and to get them to help you to see more clearly the gospel of the grace of God and the love of God and the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus. And when that movie ended, that's exactly what Phil Robertson did, and he was doing it through the whole film. There was a man whose name was Al, I believe, who really led him astray, got him into alcohol, and at the end of the movie, Phil comes on the screen, shares with us, and says, "You have seen the sinful nature in living color." And it was about his sinful life until the Lord saved him. But then he went on to say, and the only solution to that problem is the life, death, shed blood, and resurrection of Christ. He's the only solution to the sin problem. And so he is. And so we believe in the Lord. We are convinced of our salvation. The Bible says you can know that you have eternal life in Christ. And by the grace of God and the work of his Spirit, we do. And so we rejoice and we're glad and we give thanks for the Lord's love in calling us unto himself, causing us to be born again. Now, the second thing I want to remind us that we should rejoice, be glad, and give thanks for is our love for him and one another. The Bible makes it clear in 1 John 4 that we love because he first loved us. And we are a people here at Covenant Pres in Miller's Creek who do indeed love the Lord and love one another and demonstrate that love in many, many ways. Not too long ago, a few weeks ago, we were in John chapter 17, and we call that the high priestly prayer of Jesus. That's the prayer he prayed. We prayed this morning. We call that the Lord's Prayer because that's the one he taught the disciples to pray. But in John 17, it's the prayer Jesus himself prayed. And one of the things he prayed for all of us who would believe in him after the disciples and after their ministry of the word and down through the ages, for all who would believe, his prayer was, "Father, that they would be one, even as you and I are one." And so we rejoice and are glad and give thanks that we live in not only loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, but we live in unity and harmony with one another. And what a powerful testimony that is to the outside world who looks in. And so we are rejoicing, glad, and giving thanks. There's no animosity among us. There's no malice. There's no arguing. There's no fussing. There's no fighting. Knock on wood. Lord, keep that the way it is now. Unity, harmony, and loving one another. Don't let the evil one get in here and stir up trouble. And many churches have a real difficult time because of that. They're at each other's throats, and they get mad and hold grudges and get even or one-upsmanship or whatever. And Praise the Lord, he's protected us from that. And so on this second anniversary, we celebrate the love, the unity, and the harmony that he has built among us. Now, number three, the thing that we rejoice and are glad and give thanks for are our two elders. Turn with me to the book of Titus. I want to read there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, there's qualifications, but also in Titus chapter 1, and I want to focus on Titus chapter 1, another letter inspired by God through the Apostle Paul to write to Titus, who was a young pastor. Timothy, too, was a young pastor. And these are what we call the pastoral epistles or letters. And those of us who are in the pastoring ministry would do well to know these books thoroughly and to believe and do what they say we should be believing and doing as pastors. Well, in this book of Titus, chapter 1, pick it up at verse 5. Well, let's go to 4. To Titus, my true child in the common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. For this reason, I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. Now, that is the verse right there that convinced us as a provisional session that we should pursue with determination to train men for the office of elder, to examine them for that office based on the Word of God, and if they pass that exam, to mentor them into that position of service and leadership as elders in the church after their ordination and installation. And so it is revealed to us that the Apostle Paul sent Titus to appoint elders in every city, he said, as I directed you. He knew every body of believers should have men within it who are ordained and serving as elders, spiritual leaders, and overseers of that church ministry. And our Lord raised up two of those, Charlie and Ryan, called them to this. They gave testimony of it. They went through an extended time of training and examination and mentoring before being ordained and installed. But again, it's the Lord our God who brought these things to pass. And therefore, we rejoice and are glad and give thanks to the Lord for calling them and raising them up, seeing them ordained and installed and serving in the office of elder. And I can tell you this. After 49 years of serving as a pastor and preacher, I've never had any elders any better than these two. I've had some maybe equal to, but none any better. And they are a blessing to us, and the Lord has given them to us, and we rejoice and are glad. Okay, and during these past 2 years, us working together as elders have developed our mission statement as a church and our vision statement for this body of believers. Now, we have that printed on the front of the bulletin. And I would ask you to turn your attention to the front of the bulletin down at the bottom for both of these statements. Now, I have worked hard at memorizing them. But rather than shooting from the hip and maybe missing a word or two, I'm going to read it and you can follow along. But this is our mission. This is what the Lord brought us to in agreement as elders in the church. Here's why we're here. This is our mission as a church. We're here to glorify God by believing, teaching, preaching, and obeying His word, the Bible, and sharing all of God's truth with others. And so that's what we're about. And if it's in the Word, we don't hesitate to deal with it. We don't try to skip over it or make light of it. Or if we think it might offend someone, well, it'll just have to offend if that's what the Lord wants to do with it. We know the Lord has said, my word will not return to me void. It will accomplish that to which I send it. And I have known and experienced in these 49 years where some were greatly offended, even like those disciples who were following Jesus. And it's recorded in John chapter 6. And what Jesus told them was, you cannot come to me unless it's been given by the Father for you to do that. And so it's recorded in that chapter below that verse that there were many at that point who left him and followed him no more. And so there are some difficult things in the Bible and hard for people to understand. And I remember when I would have not believed that either. When I came to know Christ and he caused me to be born again, I knew almost zero of the Bible and what's in it. And there were books that I now have preached and talked through a number of times that I didn't even know existed in it because I was just that ignorant of it. And so God brings us along. And Philippians 1:6 tells us that he promises to bring to completion what he has begun in us. And so we know and understand that we're not all on the same ladder or rung on the ladder, so to speak, concerning spiritual growth and development, concerning our sanctification. Some are a little farther down the road than others. But yet, nonetheless, we do believe the Bible is the Word of God. We do teach that. We do preach that. And we seek by God's grace and the power of His Holy Spirit to obey it. And we're quick and willing to share all of his truth with others. We do that lovingly, compassionately, yet forthrightly. And we don't hesitate or back away from it. If it's in the Bible, it's fair game. And so that's how we operate. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all scripture is inspired of God and profitable for teaching, correcting, rebuking, training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work. Now, our vision is to glorify God by growing spiritually and numerically. And so we take that very seriously. We're not to remain babes in Christ. The Bible makes it clear that we're to, well, let's just turn to that before I do this, to turn with me to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here's what we read in 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So if we're going to grow spiritually, and it's our vision to glorify God by growing spiritually and numerically, but if we're going to grow spiritually, we've got to take in big doses of the Word of God. And so we, the elders, are very thankful that the people here are exposed to a lot of the Bible. Now, this is our Sunday school quarterly, and I just want to read the names of the books that we have gone through, worked through, studied through in our adult Sunday school class in the past 2 years. And it's a good list, and it's a long list, but yet it's important that we long for the pure milk of the word that we may grow thereby. And so since the fall of 2021, these are the books that we have studied in our adult Sunday school class. Exodus, Isaiah, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, Job, Proverbs, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Mark, First and Second Corinthians, Lamentations, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, Romans, Psalms, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and we're currently in the book of First Samuel. Now, that's a lot of the Word of God, and we do that because of what His Word says. We want to grow spiritually and develop spiritually as His people, and so we need to take in those big doses of the Word of God. And during that same period of time, since the fall of 2021, when we were organized as a church, these are the books of the Bible that I have preached through, going through chapter by chapter, section by section, verses by verses, not skipping over anything, but dealing with everything that's included in them. And by the way, that keeps a preacher honest. It keeps us from riding our hobby horse, so to speak, or picking and choosing and jumping over things that we might would rather not deal with, but yet are in the Word and we should deal with. But here are the books: James, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and the Gospel of John, that's not yet completed, but Lord willing will be before the end of the year. And during that same period of time, I have deviated from some of those books occasionally to preach on things like Thanksgiving and Christmas, our mission statement and vision statement. And we laid out for those here what the Bible says that caused us elders to put those two statements together. Now, another thing, and the last thing I want to bring to our attention that we should rejoice and be glad about and give thanks for is the way the Lord has blessed us with our vision statement and the growth that He's brought about as a result of all of these things. And again, to God be the glory. It's He who has done it. It didn't me or us. It's the Lord Himself building His church in our midst. And that's what's very, very important. First of all, in October of 2021, if everyone came on Sunday morning, we had 13 in attendance. Today, if everyone comes, there are 26 of us. And so the Lord has blessed us to double in attendance in 2 years' time. He's caused our membership to grow, not by that many, but yet we've still grown in membership as we have grown in attendance. And so we thank the Lord for all of that. Also, about money, as far as money is concerned, in October of 2021, we had a total amount on hand of $70,713 and change. As of our last financial report, we have on hand a little over $100,000 plus another $8,000 in our building fund. And so the Lord has blessed us and caused us to prosper financially by giving us an increase of over 50% to what we had back in October of 2021. Again, all to His praise and all to His glory. And so we know that our future, just like our past, is indeed in His hands, and that's the best place for it to be. Ephesians 1:11 tells us that God works everything after the counsel of His own will, and Romans 8:28, that He causes all things to work together for our good, to those of us who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so He's been mightily at work among us over these past 2 years, and that's why we celebrate today all that He's done in our midst, individually in our lives, and among us collectively as a body of believers in these past 2 years. And so again, I conclude simply by saying to God be the glory. Great things He has done. Let's bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, again, we bow before you to give thanks to you for all that you have done in our lives and in our midst in the past 2 years that we've been an organized church. And Lord, we know that our future is in your hands. You've provided very well for us in the past, and we trust you to do so in the future. We thank you again for allowing us to continue to meet in this place, even though we don't own it. It'd be nice if we had the money to do that and do the renovation that would improve things. And if you would like to bless us with that, we would rejoice and be glad about that. But we thank you that it's our privilege to be here and to meet here. There are many small churches that don't have anything like this to accommodate them on the Lord's Day. But again, you have richly blessed us, and we thank you and praise you for it. Also pray that you would grant to us a good time of food and fellowship over lunch, and that you would continue to have your way with us, that you would continue to grow us and develop us and add to our numbers as it would please you to do it. And so again, thank you, thank you, thank you. These things we ask and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing song today is in the Psalter hymn book, and it's selection number 135A. 135A, and if you would turn with me to that number, and let's stand and sing together. 135A. Seat and begin to enjoy. But then after I pray about our meal and time of fellowship, I'll pronounce the benediction, and after that you're free to get on with it. Okay, let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day of celebration. We thank you, Lord, again for all that you've done in our midst in these past 2 years. We thank you, Father, for the food that we're about to enjoy. We pray that you bless it to nourish and strengthen us. We pray that you would grant us a good time of fellowship one with another, as you always do when we have these meals together. And we would continue to praise and thank you for it all. And so, again, Lord, have your way with us in all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now receive the benediction. May God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit be and abide with you, enabling you to rejoice, to be glad, and give thanks for him and all that he's done among us in these past 2 years, all for his glory and for our good. Amen.